Welcome to Unpacking Life's Crazy. I'm Esperanza Phoenix. In this podcast, I share my unusual life experiences, unique perspective, and frank conversations with people like me who use humor to cope with physical disabilities, mental health conditions, and extraordinary life circumstances which set us apart from societal norms. Expect to hear discussions about controversial and adult topics. There will be swearing. Life can be a crazy journey. Let's unpack it together. Today's episode might be just as eclectic as I am. We're just gonna have to see. So, let's unpack this. Unfortunately, my guest interviews fell through this time, so you have me. But I have several things to discuss, and the first of which is my artwork. As some of you may know, I am a disabled artist. My only way of generating income is sales of my artwork, and my artwork includes things like the painting behind me, these lovely earrings, and until now, I have been selling my artwork only on my Etsy shop, and you can go to Esperanza Paints and get some of my artwork if you choose, but one of my goals has been to have my artwork carried in an actual store. As you can imagine, mushrooms are pretty popular here in Oregon, and as I talked about in my last move, the use of psilocybin mushrooms for therapy has recently become legal, so I'm sure that's generating even more interest, but anything artsy that involves mushrooms is pretty popular here. So I have been checking out various stores, and I have a possibility, it isn't confirmed yet, but my artwork may soon be available in a cute little shop called Crystal Heart in Hillsboro. I've got my fingers crossed. I'm still waiting to hear back on that. And then I also recently, we took a little trip to Astoria and stayed in a cute little B&B there. It was lovely. And while we were there, passed by this little shop, which I can only describe as witchy. It was very cool. Lots of witchy themed stuff and a lot of mushroom stuff in the window. We walked past it after dinner and I thought, oh my gosh, I really want to check it out, but they were already closed for the night. So even though we were in a hurry to get back home to our pups who were experiencing a trial pet sitting with my youngest daughter and her girlfriend, I asked my boyfriend to stop by on the way out of town so we could check it out. And they were so many adorable mushroom artwork things there. T-shirts and sculptures, very cool stuff. Nothing really like what I do. The stuff I do is kind of unique. And so I talked to the lady at the desk there, and I said, hey, you know, I do some mushroom artwork, and I showed her my card, and she was really excited about it. It's got pictures of my mushroom people on the card. And so she rushed in the back to find the owner, and the owner was also very excited. I showed her some photos on my phone, and they have invited me to come have a pop-up in their store one of these days. So we'd already been talking about how lovely Astoria was and how we wanted to go back and stay again. So we'll try to coordinate that so I can set up a little pop-up table and sell my artwork in person. So while we're talking about artwork, I've been getting back to sculpting again. I would like to share what I'm working on right now. One of the pieces is completely finished. I had sculpted a gnome a while back, and for those who are watching on YouTube, I will put up an image of my first gnome that I sculpted a couple years back, and I haven't sculpted a gnome in a while, but I just sculpted a smaller version of a gnome, and this is my little guy. I will put up a still image of him as well, because as if you can see, he's a bit bright because of the light that I have here. But I get a little obsessive about the details, especially his little hands, and he's got like some little wrinkles on his fingers and all of that. I love the detail work. The detail work is super fun. So my little gnome guy is finished, but another very cool thing that happened for me is in that cute little shop nearby in Hillsboro, I started talking to a young woman who works behind the counter there about her polymer clay mushroom sculptures, and they are very unique and wonderful. So Corby and I had a lovely discussion about polymer clay artwork, and we became fast friends. I've already had her over for tea, and I am really excited to have made a friend in the area. So the coolest thing that Corby told me that I hadn't heard of is that there is now a polymer clay that stays flexible when baked, which is really exciting, especially exciting because there's been some things that I've had ideas about doing that really can't be done in any other way. A polymer clay, if you folks don't know about it, is a clay that is basically, it's plastic. It's like PVC sort of, but it is in a clay form and you can sculpt it into just about anything. So these earrings are made out of it. My gnome is made out of it. And then once you get it shaped the way that you want it shaped, you bake it in the oven and it becomes hard. Well, this new type of polymer clay, the brand that she uses, and as far as I know, it's one of the few flexible kinds, is called Cause Clay. So I was like super excited to hear about Cause Clay and eager to get started. And then once I started getting more into researching how to work with that, I found out some other really cool things like liquid polymer clay. So I had this cool idea that I had been thinking about. You can go on my Etsy shop and see some of my mushroom people. I don't have any available for sale right now because they may be for sale in a shop soon. So I didn't want to confuse the situation by having some available online and some available in the shop. However, if you are interested in having one of my mushroom people and you aren't local, you are welcome to send me a message through Etsy and order one. You can even make specifics like I want one that's cheeky or I want one that's grumpy or whatever, and I can accommodate you. So I had this idea and I was really eager to get started. It took me a while for the clay to arrive. And this little guy that I had in mind is sort of a cross between a mushroom and a slug. And he's not finished yet, but for those of you who are watching on YouTube, I am going to show you the progress so far on my little mushroom man slug guy. So, as you can see, he is eating a worm. And he is not painted yet, and he's not fully finished, but the worm isn't even attached all the way yet. So the worm, though, is made out of this lovely stuff that's flexible. And I put a wire in him so I can decide which way he flexes when I am done. So I'm working on him. He's not finished yet, but really excited to get back to my sculpting. And if you've watched my previous episodes and seen my painting in the back, you will see that it's still not finished because I got distracted with sculpture stuff. Because I'm artsy and eclectic, and I do a lot of different kinds of things, including this podcast, so sometimes I get distracted. And the other thing that I've talked about in the podcast is that I have ADHD. And right before coming here, I was adult diagnosed with ADHD. Although I was diagnosed as a child, nothing really came of it. And I really didn't do anything about it. I wasn't given medication. I wasn't really treated for my symptoms. I remember being sent to school with a thermos full of coffee for a while. Honestly, I don't know if they even had a lot of ADHD medication back then. Maybe they did. I don't know. But the theory was that because of the way the ADHD brain works, sometimes stimulants have opposite effects. And that's why a lot of the medications they use to treat ADHD are stimulants for whatever reason. Our brains just do things differently. And that's why it's called neurodivergent. Whether it's autism or ADHD, there are people who our brains just work a little differently. So the reason why I bring that up is not only to explain why I haven't finished my painting, why I'm back and forth with the podcast, the sculptures, or it's painting, or it's the podcast, and spring has sprung, hence the hat, and we are getting some warm weather, so I'm also distracted by some gardening stuff, which is exciting. Super excited to be in our new place because there's a lovely backyard and some planter boxes, so we are going in that direction too. Another thing that distracted me, I've been wanting to set up an altar here in the house, and I wanted a shelf for that. They had an antique, what did they call it? Junk hunt. They had a junk hunt in Salem, Oregon last weekend. Gosh, was that just last weekend? Time flies. And I went specifically looking for some shelves, and I found a shelf that would work, but it was entirely the wrong color. I mean, I hated the treatment on the shelf, but it was only $12. So for $12, I'm an artist. I can make it whatever color I want. So we bought it, came home, and I immediately launched in to first the prime coat and then adding all these details. And I didn't get finished painting for the night until like 10:30. And then I woke up the next morning and painted some more. And so it took a little while longer to finish my gnome even. And again, back to the ADHD. Since we got here to Oregon, I've been trying to establish medical care. And it's been tricky getting an appointment. It took me until this month in order to see a primary care doctor and get some references for other care. I've mentioned before that I have fibromyalgia and a weird form of arthritis in my back called non-radiographic spondyl arthritis. And so I need to see a rheumatologist. And I'm also seeking treatment for my ADHD, which was diagnosed literally 3 days before we left California. So there was no time to get a prescription or get any treatment of any kind. So after seeing the primary care doctor, I was able to establish therapy. It's an online thing, so like all of it is telehealth stuff, which is fine because I kind of like being able to see my therapist in my pajamas if I want to, and not having to drive to an appointment, which is kind of stressful on the road sometimes. Also, you know, if you wind up having to wait for your therapist to show up, I'm not waiting in a waiting room with a bunch of people. I'm just like chilling in my living room or sculpting. It's fine. The way this worked out, I saw the therapist on Tuesday, and then yesterday I was scheduled to have this Zoom thing with a psychiatrist because you have to see a psychiatrist to get prescribed meds. So that's the ADHD part of it. And I logged in to meet this psychiatrist for the first time, and I waited. And I waited. And, you know, it said that I had an appointment and it allowed me to log in, and it said that they would be joining me shortly. And, you know, after about 10 minutes, I logged out, checked, logged back in again, and waited and waited. And after 18 minutes, I was like, okay, seriously, what the fuck? I'm waiting for my appointment. Nobody's showing up. Nobody's telling me anything. So I called the practice, and I told the person that answered. I said, hey, you know, I have this appointment and I was supposed to be meeting the psychiatrist for the first time. I don't know what's going on. And they checked their records like, oh yeah, you're supposed to have an appointment. I'm like, yeah, I'm aware. And they said, okay, well, we'll try to call her and have her get a hold of you and log in and all that. So I'm sitting at my computer. I'm scrolling YouTube videos about sculpting with polymer clay. I'm waiting and I'm waiting. And honestly, I'm feeling quite a bit of anxiety. Now, back to the ADHD, I set 3 alarms to make sure that I actually showed up because sometimes I'll get distracted. I was baking bread yesterday too. So I was working on sourdough bread. I was sculpting. I was doing various things. And when I am sculpting, especially, or working on any art project, I have what's called hyperfocus ADHD, which means once I get truly involved in a project, I am completely sucked in. Like, I will forget to eat. I will forget to drink. I will suddenly realize that my bladder has been full for a very long time because I am that focused on what I'm doing. Now, if you want me to do something I absolutely hate, I will get distracted in an instant. But if I'm into something, I am 100% into it. So I set alarms to make sure that I showed up on time. And I had a bit of anxiety about this because I don't know what the therapist is going to be like. I've never met this person before. It's the therapist that I had to stop seeing when I left California had been my therapist for about 10 years. And I absolutely loved her. She was wonderful. She was extremely helpful. I miss her. So it was sort of like a blind date. So here I am, stood up on a blind date with somebody who is being paid to see me. So the whole time ran out. And this person never logged in, never saw me, never showed up. Now, luckily, I was meeting with this psychiatrist, not for meds, for depression or something like that, but to try to better manage my ADHD so that I can be a more productive person and hopefully get my shit together. You know, be less distracted, be a better friend to people, actually do more than one podcast episode in a month. That would be nice if I could get to it and not be like the queen of procrastination. Hence, when this podcast is released, and I apologize again. But yeah, what if I was waiting for medication for major depression, especially since it took me months to get in at all? So I called back the practice and I expressed my extreme displeasure. I said, this is not acceptable. You know, this is not good for my anxiety. And I would like you to sign me up to see another therapist, reschedule me for another therapist because this isn't okay. So a little while later, they called me back and the guy said, oh, well, she was looking at her planner wrong, and she can see me in a little bit if I want to see her today. I said, no. Mm-mm. No. Trust is lost. No. If I, as disorganized as I am, can set 3 alarms to show up on time for this, then the therapist, the psychiatrist, can do what she is supposed to do, which is her job. And no, I would like to see somebody else. So I am scheduled with a different psychiatrist next week. And now I have to go through the whole anxiety thing again of having to see another therapist. Also, as I've talked about in this podcast, one of the things I do to treat my PTSD and anxiety is I use psilocybin mushrooms in microdoses, and I use those medicinally. I'm not going to raves and taking them to see the pretty colors. I mean, no judgment. If you're a person who does that, that's you do you. But that is not why I sought the use of psilocybin. And because of the therapy sessions I had set up, I hadn't microdosed this week at all, and I had already felt my anxiety building, and then it was quite this therapy thing was quite frustrating. So I was like, well, fine. So I brewed myself some mushroom tea and I chillaxed for the rest of the day. And honestly, it was a nice reboot. I got some good rest last night and I am much improved today. Yay. But that shouldn't happen. And if you are a person who is thinking about seeking therapy, I don't want my story to dissuade you in any way. It has helped me so much. The various kinds of therapy, EMDR was especially helpful with the PTSD. And I had to go my own way with using psychedelics after much research. And if you are interested in exploring that treatment for yourself, I encourage you to watch a series called How to Change Your Mind. It should still be available on Netflix, and it talks about psychedelics for things like PTSD and anxiety and all that. So yeah, look into it, read books about it, do your own research. Well, ketamine therapy is approved in several states, I believe, and now in Oregon, they are doing psychedelic therapy with magic mushrooms, but it's a really complicated process. You can go back and listen to my other episode about moving to Shroomtown and hear a little bit more about what that is. So anyways, that is the therapy portion and what's going on with that. Now, I want to discuss something that has been in the news a lot lately, and that is reproductive freedom. Now, if you haven't been following this, oh my God, just like, where have you been? Climb out from under your rock, watch some news. Seriously. there is a great program that I like to listen to it's a podcast from Crooked Media called Strict Scrutiny, and they talk about the law, what's going on with the Supreme Court, stuff like that. It's a really good place to geek out on the legal part of it. I am no legal expert. I am no lawyer. I follow the news and especially things that matter. So since the fall of Roe versus Wade, which was a shock to a lot of people and truly disgusting, women have had the freedom to get abortion since, shortly after I was born. It was legal in California even before that, but it became the law of the land when Roe versus Wade went through the Supreme Court. The fall of Roe put all of that discussion of abortion to individual states. And that may be fine for those of us who live in Oregon or California or Washington, but there are a lot of states, as some of you know, that are enacting draconian laws, and women just don't have the right over their own body. The reason I'm bringing this up is not just because that's abhorrent and disturbing, and legal won't stop abortions. It will just cause more women to die from them because there are desperate situations. And frankly, unless you're in the situation, it's none of your damn business. Old white men who don't have a vagina and never will should not be making these choices for people who do, for people who have functioning wombs. Neither should old women whose wombs no longer function. It's a personal thing. The fear-mongering around, quote, late-term abortions is especially disgusting because women don't choose to have that kind of an abortion unless their life is in danger or the fetus cannot survive. If you're in the third trimester and you're forced to have an abortion, that's a devastating thing. That's not, changed my mind. I've been doing all of the pregnancy things for the last 7 months, but I just don't want to anymore. No, just, nah, that is not what happens. It is a horrifically sad and terrible thing when that happens. It is medically necessary, and the fact that they are in some states forcing women to have a dead fetus inside them. I mean, that's where we're at. There are already cases where women are suing their state because, you know, their water has broken, it's too early, and they can't do anything. That they have to wait for there to be absolutely no signs of fetal activity for them to help them. And at that point, they can go gangrene. There have been women who have lost their uteruses because of this. They're losing their rights. There are abortions by prescription. So it's not a medical procedure. It's simply a pill. And those have been in use for 2 decades. There are a couple of pills on the market that can help a woman to, basically, it forces a miscarriage. You don't have to go to a hospital. It's not a huge thing. It's very, very simple. And these medications are also used when a pregnancy fails and the woman needs to miscarry to clear out her uterus. These pills are used for that purpose. So there are some states that have already banned them, and there is this big case in it, and it's really quite ridiculous. Some extreme conservatives shopped around to find a judge to say, basically, go back in time and don't let the FDA approve this medication that has been in use for 20 years. It's safe. It's safer than Tylenol. It is safer than Viagra. And yet, this lower court said, yeah, we're basically saying that we're going to reverse the approval of it. We're going against what the FDA said. So the lower court is taking over what the FDA is saying is an approved medication. So big problem there, and it's all the way at the Supreme Court now, and we're waiting. We're waiting to find out if millions of Americans are going to have this medication stripped from them, and they're no longer going to be able to have access to it. Not just in the states that have these draconian abortion laws, but in states where it is legal, they may not have this option very soon, which is quite terrifying. Another reason why I'm bringing this up is while you may have heard the horror stories in the news about that 11-year-old girl who was pregnant because, I mean, anytime a child who is of that age is pregnant, that's rape. Okay? Anytime. That's not consensual. So clearly it's rape. If she's pregnant in one of these states that forces pregnancy, she doesn't have an option. So you're forcing children to have children and saying they can't have an abortion because they're too young to decide whether they should have an abortion. Okay, wait a minute. You're too young to make the decision that you don't want to have a baby. That makes you old enough to have a baby? I'm sorry, but that is totally fucked up. It's fucked up. And some states are saying that they will prosecute anyone who helps these children to leave the state to get an abortion. So, okay, huge problem. You may have heard about that. But there is something else that isn't being discussed here, and I want to discuss it. And that is geriatric pregnancy. What's geriatric pregnancy? Pregnancy in older women. They call it geriatric pregnancy. I'm not kidding. That's what they call it. And like, you can be like 36 and they consider it a geriatric pregnancy, depending on your doctor, I guess. But people don't understand, mostly men, don't understand that women are quite capable of becoming pregnant well into their late 40s and even into their 50s. I happen to still be fertile. I don't want to have more babies. I have 2 adult children, and they are lovely, and I am very glad that I had them, but I am not prepared to go through that again. It wouldn't be healthy for my body at this point, and it has a lot of potential for there being abnormalities in the fetus. That is why there are prime reproductive age. Prime reproductive age for women and for men. So, you know, maybe they should ban Viagra so geriatric men can't get anybody pregnant. If you're gonna ban the abortion pill, ban that too. But what people aren't discussing is that in addition to forcing super young girls to have babies, these laws are going to be forcing grandmothers to have babies. While women in their late 40s and 50s may be more financially able to travel out of state or out of country if necessary, let's face it, in this country, there's a lot of poverty and there's a lot of people who cannot afford to travel. And there are a lot of people my age who maybe don't have the good health to even travel out of state if they're able to get the time off work to travel out of state. There are financial constraints. There are a lot of things that would prevent a woman in one of those states finding a way to access an abortion. And if we break down the reason why some people have been so adamant to making abortion illegal, let's talk about what they really want. They want to force people who are poor to keep having children because that makes them desperate enough to take crap jobs. It makes their children less likely to be able to go to college and get a good job because the people who profit off cheap labor want there to constantly be cheap labor. Politicians, they're always going to be able to afford to send their wives or their mistresses or their lovers or their children out of the state or out of the country to get an abortion if that's what they want. What they want is to deprive the rest of us from having abortion access. How many grandmothers do you want having babies? How does that help our country? How does that help anyone? If someone like me is forced to start a family again, you know, my eldest, who knows? She and her husband might decide to have children in the next few years. We'll see what happens. If they do, that's great. If they don't, that's fine too. But I can't imagine having a baby that is the same age as my grandchildren. That is really disturbing. I mean, some people do it, and if they want to, that's fine. You do you. For example, my ex-husband was Costa Rican, and his grandmother had 13 children. It was a different era. Abortion wasn't even an option. Still isn't in Costa Rica. And sadly, there are a lot of suicides because of that. But her last child was born, I think she was 60. So, while a lot of women stop being fertile at some point in their 40s, not all of us do. It's something to consider. This is going to have a huge impact on the lives of so, so many people. So what's the moral? Vote as though your lives depended on it, because they might. But for those of you who say, just use birth control, of course, that is the best option. However, it is not 100% effective. And 2 of my very best friends in the world have had multiple pregnancies, even while using birth control. One of them through weird circumstances and unexpected things. Another one, simply because the clinic didn't inform her that while she was taking antibiotics for strep throat, her birth control wouldn't work. People who can become pregnant who are on birth control, you should be aware that antibiotics can cancel out the pill. One of those things that they don't always remember to tell you, but it really matters. So a little bit of a tip for you. So I would like to end on a couple positive notes. First, I want to get back to last month's pod, which was about Facebook totally sucking. And they don't really suck any less. But the things that I loved about them, which is connecting with my friends, I was really missing. And I was never able to resolve my Facebook issue. I tried and tried and tried again. Nothing resolved it. So after, I guess, a month and a half, I finally said, okay, I give. I'm going to just sign up for a new account, I guess. I'm going to start over from scratch. So I did. I started a brand new Facebook account. Had to go find all my friends again. And then I also had to explain to them. I mean, I did a post with a link to that episode and said, yes, it really is me. I know it's super weird, but yeah, this is me, but I had to sign back. And then a few of them, when I sent them friend requests, sent me private messages. They're like, is this really you? I'm like, yeah, it's really me. Ask me a question and I'll prove it. So I've slowly had to gather back my friends, and I'm really glad I did, because it is one way that I keep in touch with everybody, and it's nice to watch people's lives. But I had a really odd but vivid dream about somebody that I knew back in my hometown, and I was like, oh, this doesn't happen very often. And I may have mentioned in previous podcasts that I am also a healer. When I have a extremely vivid dream about someone, I assume there's a reason for that. So I was able to reach out to her on Messenger. And as it turned out, she's been struggling a bit. So I was really glad that I did. And I've been able to message with her. And so if you're listening, you know who you are. And I just hope that things are going better for you. And I will keep checking on you. And I will keep messaging. So that is the resolution, not resolution, to the Facebook situation. And again, if you are a person who uses Facebook and you need that added security thing, don't use the code generator thing, because if you accidentally delete it, you're fucked. You're just totally and completely fucked. Find another way to do it. Don't do that. So what else? Back to mushrooms, not this kind or the psychedelic kind, but the eating kind. I enjoy hunting for mushrooms in the springtime. I've only ever really hunted for morel mushrooms because they're very distinct. And so I'm really sure that when I find a morel mushroom, I know what they are. And I have not yet gone hunting for them since I got to Oregon, but I've joined a few morel enthusiast groups on Facebook, and I am seeing photos all over the place, all over the country, and some of them are local. So I'm hoping that maybe this weekend or early next week, I will be able to get out and do some hunting for morels, because it's everything good about the forest. Because of my ADHD, I love being in the forest. But I have to have a focus. You know, I used to fish a lot when I was a kid. And if I was fishing, I could sit by a creek and, you know, think about stuff and watch the bugs and whatever and really enjoy my time in nature. And it's sort of the same thing when I'm hunting for morels. It's sort of like adult Easter egg hunting. And, you know, I have a pretty sharp eye for spotting them. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm just looking forward to experiencing springtime in this new place where we're living. The squirrels are chasing each other around the yard, which is lovely. Trying to make friends with some crows. We'll see how that goes. They're getting closer to me, so that's fun. We have a bunny that's been creeping into the yard from time to time, and I'm really working on my little Chiweenie because he wants to chase stuff. And I get it. It's his instinct. But those are my outdoor friends. Stop chasing them. So I'm working on him, hopefully. I saw the funniest thing. I've never seen this before. There were some birds out in the yard. I'll put out some seeds and different things for them. And so the birds were out pecking around looking for grubs or whatever they were doing. And a squirrel came out, and the squirrel chased the birds. I've never seen a squirrel do that before. He was just messing around. He chased him off, and then he went back to digging for his nut or whatever he was doing. And the birds came back, and he chased them again. So I don't know. I guess they're just full of hormones right now. They're chasing each other. They're chasing birds. I don't know what's going on. But it's lovely to watch. And shockingly, we are supposed to have weather in the 80s tomorrow. And since we've been here, it's been pretty darn cold. I mean, I'm Californian. I've lived in California and I've lived in Costa Rica. So Oregon has been a bit chilly. I love all the greenery, but it's a new experience. So now I get to experience the warm weather in Oregon, and I am truly down for that. So that's my eclectic episode for this month. I hope you found something useful or interesting or entertaining. And until next time. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your support by giving the podcast a 5-star rating. And if you can spare the time, write a review. This helps put the podcast in front of more listeners. This is a one-woman show, so sometimes it takes me a little while to get everything done. Clips of this episode and the full episode will soon be available on my YouTube channel. Look me up under Esperanza Phoenix or Unpacking Life's Crazy.